Have you requested that I read another chapter of the story of O, which is the first book that I read about BDSM. So I'll do my best and I hope that you like it. Another version of the same beginning was simpler and more direct. The young woman, dressed in the same way, was driven by her lover and an unknown friend. The stranger was driving. The lover was seated next to the young woman, and it was the unknown friend who explained to the young woman that her lover had been entrusted with the task of getting her ready, that he was going to tie her hands behind her back, unfasten her stockings, and roll them down. Remove her garter belt, her panties and her brassiere, and blindfold her, that she would then be turned over to the chateau, where in due course she would be instructed as to what she should do. And in fact, as soon as she had been thus undressed and bound, I helped her to alight from the car after a trip that lasted half an hour. Guided her up a few steps, and with her blindfold still on, through one or two doors. Then when her blindfold was removed, she found herself standing alone in a dark room. Where they left her for half an hour, or an hour, or 2 hours, I can't be sure, but it seemed forever. Then, when at last the door was opened and the light turned on, you could see that she had been waiting in a very conventional, comfortable yet distinctive room. There is a thick rug on the floor, but not a stick of furniture, and all four walls were lined with closets. The door had been opened by two women, two young and beautiful women, dressed in the garb of pretty 18th century chambermaids, full skirts made out of some light material, which was long enough to conceal their feet, tight bodices, laced or hooked in front, which sharply accentuated the bust line, lace frills around the neck, half-length sleeves. They were wearing eyeshadow and lipstick. Both wore a close-fitting collar and had tight bracelets on their wrists. I knew it was at this point that they freed O's hands, which were still tied behind her back, and told her to get undressed, that they were going to bathe her and make her up. I proceeded to strip her till she hadn't a stitch of clothing left, and put her clothes away neatly in one of the closets. She was not allowed to bathe herself, and they did her hair as at the hairdresser's, making her sit in one of those large chairs which tilts back when they wash your hair and straightens back up after the hair has been set. They're ready for the dryer. That always takes at least an hour. Actually, it took more than an hour. But she was seated on that chair naked, and they kept her from either crossing her legs or bringing them together. And since the wall in front of her was covered from floor to ceiling with a large mirror, which was unbroken by any shelving, she could see herself thus open. Each time her gaze strayed to the mirror, when she was properly made up and prepared, her eyelids penciled lightly, her lips bright red, the tip and the halo of her breasts highlighted with pink, the edges of her nether lips rouged, her armpits and pubis generously perfumed in perfume, also applied to the furrow between her thighs, the furrow beneath her breasts, and to the hollows of her hands. She was led into a room where a three-sided mirror and another mirror behind enabled her to examine herself closely. Oh, God. She was told to sit down on the ottoman, which was set between the mirrors, and wait. The ottoman was covered with black fur, which pricked her slightly. The rug was black, the walls red. Set in one of the walls of the small bedroom was a large window which looked out onto a lovely dark park. The rain had stopped. The trees were swaying in the wind. The moon raced high among the clouds. I've no idea how long she remained in the red bedroom. Or whether she was really alone, or whether someone was watching her. People camouflaged in the wall. I don't know if I can finish this chapter. All I know is that when the two women returned, one was carrying a dressmaker's tape measure, and the other a basket. With them came a man dressed in a long purple robe. When he walked, the robe flared open from the waist down. One could see that beneath his robe, his sex was exposed. It was the sex that O saw first when he took his first step, then the whip made of leather thongs which he had stuck in his belt. Then she saw that the man was masked by a black hood which concealed even his eyes beneath a network of black gauze. Oh, and finally that he was also wearing black gloves. He told her not to move and ordered the women to hurry. The women with the tape then took the measurements. Measurements of O's neck and wrists, though on the small side, her measurements were in no way out of the ordinary, and it was easy enough to find the right size collar and bracelets. The basket the other woman was carrying, both collar and bracelets were made of several layers of leather. Each layer being fairly thin, so that the total was no more than the thickness of a finger. They had clasps which functioned automatically like a padlock when it closes, and they could be opened only by means of a small key. Embedded in the layers of leather, directly opposite the lock, was a snugly fitting metal ring, which allowed one to get a grip on the bracelet if one wanted to attach it. For both collar and bracelets, fit the arms and neck so snugly, although not as tight as to be the least painful, that it was impossible to slip any bond inside. Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm.